Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Something almost everybody on this earth have seen at least once in their life, whether or not they know of it, are shadows. Now, is it your shadow, someone else's shadow, or is it a rogue shadow? Is it the Hat Man, a nefarious shadow spirit of lore? Or is it all just in our imagination? These shadow creatures have even plagued me, and I've seen them more times than I even care to admit. These stories are all from viewers just like you, and if you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, be sure to submit your creepy shadow creature story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this show going. Now, without further ado, let's get into these creepy and downright unexplainable shadow creature stories. Hello, I'm a long-time listener and a first-time story submitter. First off, let me say that I could probably submit hundreds of stories of supernatural encounters that have happened to me throughout just my lifetime. I grew up in a haunted house and things still happen there from time to time. My elderly mother now lives there alone since my father passed away back in 2009. The neighborhood itself wasn't that old when we moved there in the early 70s. In fact, our house was a few years old in 1973. The land, however, had been used as constant Civil War encampments during the Civil War, and our property apparently had a large house nearby that was no longer standing. I have a drawing of an overhead view of the town from 1862, and it shows a large estate nearby. We still have the hand pump well in the backyard, and a large barn was still standing nearby in 1973. It was soon demolished for their eventual townhomes that went in behind our property. Anyway, on with this particular story. I had a childhood friend named Gary, who spent the night at my house on several occasions. He was nervous to do so, since so many things had already happened in this home prior to him ever spending the night. But he would overcome his fear due to the fun of having a best bud sleepover. To better understand our vantage point of what we saw on this particular night, let me give you a layout of the downstairs of the house. When you walk in front of the door, you are standing in the foyer. Directly in front of you is the living room. To the right is the entrance to the kitchen, and to the left is the entrance to the den, where we would be sleeping, on the pull-out couch. There is a clear view of the kitchen and the kitchen table when you are on the pull-out couch in the den. Well, being rowdy best friends, we would stay up as late as possible clowning around, watching TV, eating late-night snacks and whatnot. Inevitably, though, we needed to settle down and get ready to sleep. We had pulled out the sleeper couch bed, gotten the sheets and pillow ready, and finally tucked in and reluctantly turned off the light beside the couch. I think we were already nervous and had the sheets over our heads to avoid possibly seeing anything that shouldn't be there. But eventually, we decided we needed to check our surroundings to make sure it was safe. If my memory serves correctly, we had decided, in whispered words of course, that one of us should peek out and make sure the coast was clear. Neither of us wanted to, but I think Gary was finally the braver of the two of us and slowly pulled the sheets down and peeked towards the kitchen. He gasped and threw the covers back over his head and began trembling. "What? What's out there?" I whispered, already terrified that he may have seen something. He couldn't speak. He couldn't get it out. He was scared to death. I decided that I had to see. I slowly pulled down the covers myself, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. With some light coming in the kitchen window from the street lamp outside, I could make out what appeared to be a figure in an old-style duster trench coat and a cowboy hat sitting in the kitchen table. He appeared as a solid black figure in the darkness, but what he was doing was both terrifying and baffling at the same time. He was bent over towards the table and looked to be eating something out of a bowl as he repeatedly brought a spoon from the bowl to his mouth. There was no actual sound of a spoon hitting the bowl or any eating noises. The scene playing out before us was completely silent until what happened next. Suddenly, without warning, this thing dropped the spoon and seemed to seize up as if it was choking or having a seizure. He then fell out of the chair towards Gary and me, and as it hit the floor, its hands made a terrible slapping sound as they hit the floor. Gary and I both jerked in surprise as this happened, and we both were more scared than ever. The figure lay there motionless for a few brief seconds, his hands out in front of his face towards the floor. Finally, as we looked in the terror, this entity slowly raised its head towards Gary and I, and all we could make out were its glowing red eyes. We both quickly dove back under the covers and probably lay there in a cold sweat in terror before either of us finally got to sleep. I'm sure, hours later. Gary saw one other entity in that house with me on another occasion, but I'll save that for another time. For me, sleep paralysis comes in several forms. Sometimes it's a shadow in the doorway. Other times, an alien abduction or a demon attack. As an adult, the episodes frequently take the form of a burglar breaking into my home. In this version, I awake in my bed, unable to move with maybe the exception of my eyes. I squint, my eyelids open slightly, just enough to get a slanted view of my bedroom. It's important to note before going any further that at this time in my life, my mid-30s, I've already determined that these experiences are not supernatural, just another sleep paralysis episode. But that doesn't make each one of them less terrifying. I am, however, much better at observing and identifying the episode, permitting me to better control my emotions during the experience. It helps most of the time. During this particular burglar episode, nothing happens at first. All is quiet, but my body is still quite frozen. Then, the silence is broken by the jangle of the front doorknob downstairs on the first floor of my house. At the same time, the ringing starts deep down in my ear. Fortunately, the door is locked. After maybe two or three more attempts, the burglar moves on and I am once again greeted by silence. Maybe that's it, I hope. But I know that's not the case. The show must go on. It always does. Unless I can find some way to disrupt the paralysis before the episode plays itself out to finality. Sometimes, all that is required is a slight movement from a toe or a finger or attempting a deep breath from my diaphragm. I focus as hard as possible after two decades of sleep paralysis experience, but this night I am not having any success with either. I guess the terror will have to proceed. Now, the back door jangles a little bit. The doorknob turns, calling out in the darkness of my kitchen. The ringing grows louder. The door whines as it slowly opens, letting the burglar in. After a brief moment, the slow, methodical footsteps upon the linoleum floor again. The steps are deliberate, just as a deer's movement in the wild. The steps proceed into the wood flooring of the dining room, the tone changing to match the old pine floorboards. Any moment now, the burglar will reach the steps leading to my second floor bedroom. Every step squeaks, all the way to the landing leading to my bedroom door. All 14 steps, wood slates chirping one after another as the burglar gets closer and closer. He's coming for me. I know it. This is no burglar, I think. He doesn't want my property. He wants me. I have no idea why. He arrives. He is smiling, but I don't see his smile, just a blank, black blur with a head, arms, legs, and torso. While I don't see his smile, I know he is. He's teasing me. He will approach, eventually, but on his own time. It's a part of his game, to stand there watching me. He enjoys my dread. He relishes knowing the terror is growing with every moment. The time has come. He begins the first of the final remaining steps to my bedside. All I can do is wait. He has something to tell me. He always does. Now at my side, he kneels so that he is at my level. I can no longer see his dark shape as I cannot turn my forward-looking face toward him. The ringing in my ears swells, his breathing, also slow and methodic. It's mixed in with the ringing. He whispers my name, slyly and mockingly. Andrew. Dragging out the last syllable for effect. A brief laugh. Almost jovial. Andrew, I'm here. My heart is racing. Please let this end. Please let this end. Over and over I say in my head. Move, Toe, just move. I need to wake up. I need to wake. But his voice draws closer and the ringing is now almost unbearable. His whisper again, practically, is inside my ear. It's just you and me, buddy. I know all of this is purely in my head, but it feels so real. I can even feel his breath in my cheek at this point. Just wake up, I scream to myself. Just you and me, buddy. I got you, pal. And then it happens. My toe moves, my diaphragm expands. I take a deep, unwieldy breath. My body grasps forward and my eyes open fully. I see my cat at the foot of my bed snuggled into the blanket. I trace its small furry frame, along with the blanket, to the bulge at my side that conceals the body of my wife. My eyes meet her uncovered face, and I sigh with relief. My breathing is still heavy, my heartbeat still racing. It will take some time before I can calm myself down enough to attempt to sleep again. The burglar episode, while the most frequent as an adult, is the most manageable. I feel fortunate for this. That I don't have to see too many creepy shadow experiences like I did when I was younger. The reason why I wanted to share this particular experience is because these shadow creatures come in all shapes and sizes. They can look like humans, they can look like beasts, but at the end of the day, they're all the same. My story is from a small suburban town in England where nothing ever happened. I was around 15 or 16 and lived around the corner from a cemetery. The outer cemetery wall bordered a cut through a dirt path and was a great place for a sneaky smoke. On the other side of the dirt path was a block of flats. The outer cemetery wall was around 6 feet high and dropped to the ground. It was lower on the inside of the cemetery grounds than it was on the other side. So the height would have been between 6.5 to 7 feet. I am having a shady fix of nicotine and can see the long shadow of the cemetery wall projected into the lamplight across the flat's wall. I am facing this when I see the shoulders and heads of 4 human shadows that seem to be men walking behind the cemetery wall. I turn around fast to check the cemetery wall and see that no one is there. I flash another look back to the flat wall and see shadows again pass behind the same section of the cemetery wall, even though there is nobody there. Thinking this must be a prank, I turn back and pay attention to the cemetery wall. There is definitely no one there. I then realize this is kind of impossible, as if it were real people, they would have to have been at least 8 foot tall. I once again turn back to the flats and there they all were. The 4 shadows again, the same distance apart from each other, passing the same stretch of wall. I begin to study the shadows in detail. One has a hat on, one is small, and their chins appear to be a little low, as if they were looking down or something. Now, I fail to mention how much of a scaredy cat I was at this age. My own shadow used to unnerve me, let alone all these of people who weren't physically there. But this was not the case, in fact the opposite. I hear all the time of negative feelings or knowing something isn't quite right in the unexplainable situations that people have encountered. However, I was in complete awe as I continued to watch the shadows move over this part of the wall, over and over again in synchronization, with a brief pause in time from passing by to reappearing in the same spot and walking by. It was as though they were walking a 12 to 15 foot part of the wall, then ducking down, running back, and doing it all over again. At this point I had finished my smoke, but was totally mesmerized by the looped performance of the shadows. I really cannot emphasize how easily scared I was at this age, and felt the total opposite. I felt privileged as though I had been given a peek into another world that I was not supposed to see, and not many got to. I was not creeped out in the slightest at the moment, no chills or anything like that, genuinely just amazed. There were no sounds through this entire encounter, no murmurs, mumbles, leaves, or walking noises. There were no twigs or footfalls or anything, which further rules out a prank, and this went on for at the very least 10 minutes, and was very precise and exact. The shadows were like a repeat reel. I did take the occasional glimpse back to the cemetery, but I just kept validating my own eyes. This was quite a magnificent sight, as the flat's wall was very big because of the lamplight. The cemetery wall and the shadows were blown up beyond actual size. I stayed for a short while longer, but had 10:30 curfew and had to get home before I got in trouble. I would be really interested if anybody has ever had a similar experience, and what people might think these shadow creatures are. I'm a 20-year-old girl, and throughout my whole life, I feel like I've pretty much been in tune with the paranormal. Admittedly, I have become slightly obsessed, not in the summoning demons way, but more of the too much research and spending my free time and all day at work listening to podcasts like this one. I have many stories to tell, but I figured I'd start with the one that has been weighing on me for a while. I moved into a new place in December of 2017 with my roommate. We will call her Nikki. When we moved in, I felt a huge weight off my shoulders, because for the first time, I did not feel any presence in my home. Skip forward to about May, and things had been going pretty well, when we found out a family friend who was just 16, we'll call her Morgan, didn't have a place to live, so we invited her to stay with us for a while. I had known this kid for roughly 15 years, and known she came from a very messed up family. She told us her dad was a Satanist and had cast a curse on her, and now she was being followed by what she described as a shadow creature. With my past of the paranormal, I believed her, but thought nothing really of it. A few weeks had passed, and little inconveniences had been happening, such as our coffee table being moved or mail being scattered across the floor. We have cats, so I didn't think too much of it, but it was pretty annoying. This kept happening, and then gradually started getting weirder, like our entire bottle of laundry detergent being poured out under the dining room table, and the empty bottle is set in the middle of the puddle. At around the same time, both Morgan and Nikki started having issues with sleep paralysis. Nikki used to get it all the time when she was a kid, but hadn't had it in years. The strange thing was is that even though they were separate experiences, both girls claimed to have the same exact thing happening. They claimed to see a child-sized black figure. The body was small, but the head was way too big and the hands were very long, but they couldn't see any other features. Just a black outline. Luckily, I didn't have sleep paralysis, and I never have in my life, so I mistakenly thought I was safe. One night I was home alone, and I was in a deep, depressing mood. Everything in the house felt so heavy, so I decided to take a nap on the couch. When I woke up, I just could not breathe. It felt like someone was pushing on my chest with all of their weight. So I sat up and the pressure was gone. It was then that I noticed that the room was extremely dark, like unnaturally dark. My TV was on and the hall light was on, so there was no reason that it should be this dark. I decided to not think about it and turned the TV up and then started scrolling through my phone. A minute or two later, I heard heavy footfall coming from the kitchen directly behind me. It sounded like a full-grown man was running. I thought someone had come into the house while I was asleep because we always left the sliding glass door in the kitchen unlocked. Too afraid to turn around and look, I took out my phone and went on my Snapchat. I turned on the flash and when I switched to the front-facing camera, my screen went completely black and my flash wouldn't work. So I drew the courage to turn around. I saw nothing and instantly the room was light again. I grabbed my keys and got the hell out of there until my roommate was off of work. A couple of days had passed and my roommate and I burned sage, oiled the entrances, and even told whatever was in the house that it was not welcome and that it had to leave. I thought that would be the end of it. We didn't have any more things moving. Morgan had moved in with her brother and the house seemed lighter, except Nikki was still experiencing sleep paralysis almost every single night. Skip forward a couple of weeks and I was laying in bed with my two cats. It was probably around 3 a.m. and I heard pots and pans being moved in the kitchen. My cats woke up and were growling, so I grabbed my gun and checked every corner of the house. Nikki was still sleeping, so I went back to my room, thinking it could have just been her cat that likes to hide in the cupboards. The second I shut the door, there were three loud bangs on it that made me jump so high I fell back onto my bed. I yelled for the thing to go away. I didn't want it here, and it had to leave. What felt like minutes later, I opened the door and my older cat ran out and turned into the kitchen and screamed like she was hurt. I looked for over an hour and couldn't find her. I went to bed crying that night. The next morning I woke up and my cat was asleep next to me unharmed, and I went to wake up my roommate and told her about the night before. She explained to me that she had been awake when I got up and also heard the three bangs, but was too afraid to get out of bed. We oiled again and brought in her mother, who worked at the church, and she blessed the house. Not too long after Morgan's little brother moved in with me, we didn't have anything happen after that. It makes me wonder if Morgan's dad really did curse her. He used to always tell his three daughters that they were mistakes and he only intended to have his two sons. That would explain why after she moved in with the older brother, it didn't bother her anymore, and why when the younger brother came to stay with me, the problem went away. All I know is that whatever that thing was, it was negative. My depression had never been worse, and we were always arguing in the house. I'm just glad that it's over with. I will begin by letting you know that sleep paralysis is not, and never has been, a reoccurring issue for me. The two instances this phenomenon happened, once in grade school and recently as an adult reaching my 30s. I can't remember my exact age, but I think it's safe to say I was between 10 and 12 years old at the time. It was the day before Valentine's Day and I was sick with a fever, upset I would probably be missing out on my school's festivities and sweets the following day. I was sent to bed early and terribly ill as I dozed off. Now, this flu could have attributed to my experience. I have thought about the possibility of it being some sort of fever-induced delirium, but some details following have made me not entirely positive this was the case. I must have woken up sometime between 12 and 3 a.m. I was laying on my side facing the wall my bed was pressed up against. I awoke with a pressing feeling of a presence in my room and assumed it was my mother checking in on me, as my fever was pretty bad. I called out to her and was met with silence. At this point, I knew whoever it was not my mom. Fear took over my rationality. It wasn't that I couldn't move. I was too scared to. I did manage to roll on my back and kept my eyes locked on my ceiling. I did not want to look at it. It was at this time I began to feel a sense of peace and my dread dissipated. I began to feel comfort from the presence as soon as my senses calmed. I will never forget what I saw. A hand came into view, slowly cupping over my brow. It was not human. It was long. The digits on the hand were unusually long as well. The hand was slender, graceful, and downright creepy. It had a luminescence to it that I have never seen, even to this day. As soon as it made contact with my forehead, I was out cold. The next morning I awoke in my bed, and I kid you not, I was completely healthy. No fever, no trace of my previously drippy nose, and nasty cough. I felt a strange sensation of well-being. I immediately went to my mother's room and asked her if she had been in my room, and confused, she informed me she had not and commented on my strange behavior. I told her what I could recount from the previous night's experiences, and it was brought up from time to time years after. My mother even went as far to call it an angel. Now, on to the present. I feel it is relevant to mention that I have seen multiple UFOs throughout my life. It may also be worth it to say that I live in a very rural state. I have seen UFOs alone, in groups, and with people who can verify their trajectory. So I know I am not completely insane. Day and night, I have seen both of these things. Aliens and UFOs do not cross my mind often, as my life is now very busy. About a month ago, I had another experience that shook me up badly and made me recall the encounter I had as a kid. I awoke around 12 or 3 a.m. to a distinct feeling of a presence in the room. I thought immediately we had a break-in and the intruder was in the room. I was on my back and filled with so much terror I could not move. I have a nightlight adjacent to my bed that I share with my fiancé. He was sleeping on the side, closest to where I assumed this thing was. I was petrified and too scared to look at his side of the bed, and instead saw the shadow of this thing cast on the wall right beside me. It had to have been no taller than 4 feet. From what I could tell from the shadow, it was slender, with a large oval-shaped head. Again, I could not bring myself to look at this thing. It has bothered me that in these two experiences I could not bring myself to look at it. Something inside me said, "It's all over if you see it." Instead of feeling calm, this time I felt like my life was in absolute danger. I did not get the good feelings I had with my previous encounter. I was out of my mind with fear and found I was unable to scream or move anything except my fingers. It raised its hand up and I instantly recognized it, even by the shadow. It was the same sort of hand I saw in my room over 10 years ago. At this point, I could feel my fingers pinching my fiancé's thighs, but she was not waking up. This fueled my panic. I was so scared I actually fainted. I can't recall any dreams or details from there. The next night, I did lay in bed, with the nightlight on, lights off, and asked my fiancé to stand on his knees by the bed. His shadow mimicked an accurate projection placement of whatever was blocking the light the night previously. I have been deeply troubled by this since, and have no other occasions of sleep paralysis in my entire life. So, was this just some freak brain chemistry, hiccup, a lucid dream, or actually an encounter with an interdimensional extraterrestrial being? Thanks for listening to these creepy and allegedly true shadow and creature stories. If you enjoyed these stories, please be sure to hit that like button as it helps me out a ton. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day, and all things natural and supernatural. Man, these were some pretty creepy stories. Like I said in the intro, I myself have experienced quite a few shadow people encounters. Maybe I'll share those sometime. They're not necessarily creepy though, so I don't know if you would even want to hear them. If you have a shadow person experience or something different and you would like to share it in a future video, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that truly help this show keep going. I know you guys really enjoy these supernatural type stories, so I really would urge you to send in your story if you have any. I would love to read them. If you're on the go and don't have YouTube Premium to listen to Swamp Dweller videos, be sure to download your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories on iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, Stitcher Radio, and pretty much anywhere else you find podcasts online. Thank you guys, as always, for supporting the swamps the way you do. I couldn't be doing this on a daily basis without you guys. Your stories, your likes, your views, everything help us out a ton. Thank you guys so much, and I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.